This is just going to sound like futuristic noise to you, but I'm doing a Patreon.
Oh, a what? What are you doing? A Patreon? What's that?
It's like, well, I'm not going to explain it to you because you'll pick it apart. But
right, that wasn't a very good impression of me, by the way.
What are you doing? All right.
That was more like Sean Ryder, but if he was a midget.
Not Sean. No, he doesn't sound like that.
He's sorted it. He's clean now. All right. I'm doing a Patreon. So what I'm doing is we do the podcast and then I do 20 minutes extra on the Patreon. So
what's the Patreon?
It's a thing where, I mean, I'm going to have to say this and you're going to pick it apart, but people pay me money for content. So like they sponsor you, they're patrons to you.
Right.
And so you go like, so a lot of people do nude pictures and I'm not doing that. So like porn stars have a Patreon, or like comedians do. Some people do their whole podcast on a Patreon, so you pay like £3 a month or four. It's like a low to right, you right, to right. You pocket fluff, but like but by basically you go, oh, that was free, but if you want to come around the back and slip me a fiver into my bra, you can have a little bit more.
Oh, right, okay.
So,
okay.
So this is at this point.
This modern marketing fucking bullshit.
It's what you got to do. Why did you get in a van and go up to Scotland and play that first gig? He's got nothing. He can't come back to that.
Well, what do you mean? Why?
Why did you get in that van and go play that gig? Because you wanted to play that gig to be successful, to make money, to live your dream.
Right.
That King Tut. What's
that got to do with crowdfunding?
Ooh, he knows a word. well, the world moves on, isn't it? If I was going, right, I'm doing a gig in Glasgow at King Tut's, doing a fucking podcast, that it doesn't exist. Well, I'm sure King Tut's exists. Look, anyway, I'm cutting this out now.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I'm just saying that we've done an hour and now it doesn't actually affect you. I should never have even raised it. Don't worry.
You fucking idiot.
Oh, God, that's the name of the podcast now. You fucking idiot.
Right, go on. Where are we? Where were we?
Right, the spouse and the lover.
The spouse? Oh, God.
You are an EMT. Do you know what that
electromagnetic
is? Titty. You're an emergency medical technician? I don't know, but an American word for what? A fucking ambulance driver.
Oh, man. Why don't you fucking say that? Don't swear.
Because I'm
fucking angry. Fucking. Put a tampax in, you fucking angry cunt.
I think I'm a heavy bleeder. It's going to be. It's a two tampon. Problem. You're an EMT on the scene of a car crash that involves your spouse, sorry darling, and the lover you didn't know she had. They are both gravely injured. Your spouse's injuries are the worst of them. You can tell it's unlikely she will pull through. Meanwhile, her lover has a neck wound that will prove fatal if pressure isn't applied soon. Whom do you choose to work on? Right, let me summarise that. Do you work on your spouse, even though she cheated and probably won't pull through? Your loyalty lies with them. Or work on her lover. They can definitely be saved. And even though you may hate them, it's going to save your job.
Why, what's my job?
You're an ambulance man.
Oh. I'd probably save my spouse.
Well, you can't. She's going to, like, it says she'll probably, hang on, she's dying, isn't she? It's unlikely she'll pull through. He'll definitely live, right?
Who's saying it's unlikely?
The puzzle, the problem, the thing.
Fucking
problem. Like her fucking head's hanging off and he's got a little neck wound. So it's like, who do you... She's betrayed you, but you're letting that go.
Well, you'd have to get to the bottom of it. If this is the first your fucking thing, you know, I'd definitely try to save my spouse and then take it from there.
Yeah, I mean, it would seem weird that, do you know that if you're ever in a mad accident, right, the way to you know, people lay there going, help me, whatever.
A mad accident as opposed to what? Like a fucking...
A fun accident.
It was all right. How was your car crash? I believe you've been in a car crash. It's yes. Right, yeah. How was it? It was all right.
It's quite fun, actually. No, if you're ever in like some... like, basically, right, if you're a first responder and there's people laying there going, I'm bleeding, I'm dying, whatever, you know what they go to first? The quiet ones. Because...
Why?
Because they... In war and stuff, they obviously prioritise... Once they've graded how everyone is, right... They then go, okay, who have we got the most chance of saving? But when they first arrive on the scene, if anyone who's laying there shouting and going, oh, I'm dying here, or whatever, they're immediately...
Where's me fucking tea? I'm dying here.
I'm parched. Right, if you're shouting and stuff, then they know that person isn't bleeding out or on their... You know, they're not about to go, boo.
Yeah, they've not lost consciousness.
Yeah.
They're still a fucking moaning cunt.
So if you are in some sort of dreadful, horrific situation, lay there quietly.
I'll remember that.
Lay there quietly and then you'll get seen first.
Yeah, and then when I finally get saved, I'll just go to the ambulance man. Aha!
Aha! You see? I was texting under my jumper.
Do you know where I got this little trick from? Matt Morgan's funny how, that's where.
Oh, dear. Right, well, let me see. Right, we need to do one more, really, to make the Patreon extra worth it. So I've got to find one. Hell. Oh, shit. What are you drinking? Red wine.
Red wine.
So am I.
Yeah, me too. I've drank fucking shit loads of it.
What, today or in the last 9 weeks?
No, over the last 9 weeks, like fucking... Actually, should have kept all the bottles.
Lined them up.
Yeah, that would have been a thing to see. Oh, fuck.
You should have kept all the bottles and then done a little ramp and jumped over it on your mountain bike. With your pony helmet. Like a sort of Eddie Kidd character. You know that me and Russell did a little documentary of Eddie Kidd?
I've seen it.
Oh, have you? Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't believe... Like, so he landed... The accident that injured him... So he was like, I don't remember it, but you may... do you remember him being on telly?
He was a poor man's Evel Knievel.
Ooh, that's got to hurt more than the accident. Yeah, no, he knew Evel Knievel, apparently. He told us that he used to talk to him on the phone and stuff, but I thought he was cooler than Evel Knievel, because Evel Knievel was like all like, hey, I'm going to do a big jump. He was a bit mad.
But Evel Knievel had his own fucking doll. Eddie Kidd never had a fucking doll.
I had Maybe that, he did. Where you pulled the string and the motorbike went on its own.
Yeah.
Did you have that?
I had a spaceship one as well. I had fucking the lot.
That's chapter one of the book. he landed the jump, but normally, you know, like the ramp that you take off from goes up and then the landing ramp is a downward.
Are we talking
ramp.
About Eddie Kidd's big crash?
Yes.
I've
Do you know all
it.
About?
I've seen it, yes.
Seen it as well.
Mate, that I was watching this shit on fucking Nationwide or whatever it was fucking called. I've seen it at the time.
What, live?
I seen Evel Knievel at Wembley live when he jumped 14 buses.
Fucking hell, did you?
It was live on the fucking telly.
Oh, I thought you meant you were there.
No. Oh, fucking hell.
Top deck on the fourth bus.
It was live on... Surely not the BBC, must have been ITV. But that was like in, what, the late 70s, early 80s? That's when there was three channels.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a guy jumping over fucking buses on a motorbike at Wembley.
But anyway, the big crash, the landing ramp was an upward ramp, as the same as the takeoff ramp. It's one of the deceleration ramps. So you land on it and the steepness slows you down, sort of thing. He landed on that, actually got to the top of that ramp, completed the jump, you know, like braked the bike, and he was waving or whatever, and then he fell off the ramp. So really, it was like a really unlucky accident. It wasn't like part of the landing. It was like the bike fell on him and stuff. But it was quite sad being around him, because he had a living carer, and all the pictures in his house, all the way up his stairs, he had a, like a stair lift, like chair lift thing, were pictures of him with like Michael Caine and people and like all these actors, and he was wearing the same clothes as them because he was the stunt double, and he was so good looking, and you know, like, he was still good looking, but like, you know what he was like in the '80s, he was an absolute lad. So yes, very sad about Eddie. I hope he's not listening after you called him a weak Evel Knievel.
Well, yeah, well, he was a poor one. Yeah, he was the British Evel Knievel. Stunt cyclist. He's a bit of a lad, don't
Would you say that Donovan was the British Bob Dylan? In a similar way.
I thought you meant my son.
No, I mean, it's too young to tell, really, but you never know.
I'd be like, no, I don't think so. I don't think he's got the twang, you know what I mean? It's like, hello.
There's. It's like Cliff Richard was the British Elvis. There's quite a few, like, we have a shit version of the American thing.
Yeah. Oh, so, right, was Donovan the British Bob Dylan? Well, yes, when they both started out, they were both doing the same thing, which was, you know, wearing fucking flat caps and singing protest songs about fucking whatever.
Yeah.
And I guess before Dylan came to England, that, you know, Donovan assumed that mantle until Dylan got here and went, all right, I'll take it from here.
Have you ever seen that footage of them together?
Yeah, in Don't Look Back.
Oh, is that what it is? He's like, they're sitting on the floor.
Have you seen that film?
Yeah, I must have done, because Donovan's playing, isn't he? He goes, I'm going to play a song, and then he plays.
They're in a hotel room. Have you seen No Direction Home?
No, I never watched it.
Oh, it's fucking one of the best films ever. Martin Scorsese's documentary about Bob Dylan. It's fucking brilliant. Bob Dylan's just, it's like, you know, it's in his words, so he's narrating it all, Bob Dylan. And he's in it, being interviewed. He's fucking brilliant. It's brilliant. You really think, fucking hell, man, he's not just, you know, he's a bit of a dude.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, that footage of him in the back of that limo or whatever he's in with John Lennon.
Mm.
And he's like, he just seems cooler than John Lennon in that moment.
Well, I don't know.
And I think he is. He's fucking amazing, Bob Dylan. It's amazing. Mad that he's still around, that he's still a thing.
Mm.
He's still like watching the news and going...
Yeah. I went to see him in Hyde Park last year. I'd always vowed that I'd never go to see him, but he was playing with Neil Young, and I fucking love Neil Young. And everyone had warned me about. Were you there?
No, but I remember talking to you. We've talked about it, but like, yeah.
However, everyone had warned me about, you don't know what fucking song he's singing, and I was like, really, can't be that fucking mad. And well, it is.
Yeah, I've seen live footage where he's doing like Knocking on Heaven's Door, and it's just like. You, every now and again, you get a little glimmer of, oh, yeah, that is Knocking on Heaven's Door. Yeah. It's like changing it on stuff.
Well, I remember he was doing Like a Rolling Stone, and it's only when honestly, it was like, it wasn't the backing track. The backing track was some other fucking Nashville country and western fucking shit. And it's him going, I finish, it's like, what this? And then he went, didn't you? And it's like, okay. Okay. I know if he does that, I go, you. And it's like, yes, it's like a rolling fucking stone. It's and the whole crowd went, way.
That's funny. Maybe he's like, because like, he's not going to, like, musically, maybe he's moved on to a level that no one else is caught up to yet. So he's actually doing a better version of the song. No, he's not, is he?
No, he's not. No.
It sounds like a fast show character. He just goes, meow, 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 meow. Hey, the microphone's in the wrong place. And he says, Mr. Tambourine Man. And everyone goes, hey, he's doing that.
Is see, like when, you know, Neil Young plays it, you know, straight, if you like, not straight.
He does the songs,
and he does them great, and I fucking love him. Bob Dylan was a bit like, fucking hell, shit, man. Well, it's just, it can only be him being difficult because it can't be anything else.
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
I mean, you know, he's wrote some of the great songs of our lifetime.
Yeah. Right?
And let's just pick one, like a Rolling Stone, for example. So imagine writing that song and refusing to fucking give the people the pleasure of seeing you fucking do it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because he must listen to he must hear sometimes the proper album version and just think.
But you know what? I think he's punishing his fans for booing him.
What, when they said Judas?
Yeah, when he got booed for a full fucking British tour, and not that, you know, he was booed he's booed in America when he went electric, and I think his vibe towards his crowd changed after that. It's a bit like, what, you fucking booing? Really? Wow, fucking hell. I mean, imagine, you know,
being booed for using electric. Well, it's just like folk elitism.
All right, but those people that were booing him when he did Like a Rolling Stone for the first time are now Bob Dylan experts, you know what I mean? They were booing him because of the same reasons why girls were screaming at the Beatles. Why are you screaming? I don't know. Why are you booing? I don't know. You know, that's because that's what everyone does. Boo! You know, so...
It shows the relationship between the artist and the consumer or the fan or whatever is kind of... Well, it's sort of like if you totally appreciate the artist, they can do whatever the fuck they want. If you stop liking it, then you just go away and go get into something else. Mm. But you can't go, hang on, this isn't what I liked. You're changing it. Yeah. Like, that's...
Well, there is a lot of that. There is a lot of that kind of now with...
with you, you know, even, yeah.
No. Well, with me, yeah. But with, like, fan feedback, which is why everybody fucking all sounds the same now. It's because... You know, everything is focus grouped with, you know, the people out there, you know what I mean? And
yeah,
the comments and this, and it's like, fuck, you know, man, you just, I don't know. It's not a very cool time.
The thing is, if you were like, I don't know, some sort of quirky, really like minimally, you know, like not famous, but just, you know, like niche artist, right? Then you'll be allowed to do anything because your fans are sort of like, they're into... It's like Stuart Lee in comedy. He's got fans who'll go with him on that journey because they just trust him. They think, oh, he's genius, whatever he does. And a lot of it is. I'm not saying it isn't. But like, because for like you, for instance, have the Oasis audience who want exactly what they got before. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like you can, so you get this, you scale heights of like fame and success because you've got this really core mainstream audience and loads of people, and that, you know, you're on top of the pops. But that can be a weight around your neck in the future.
I don't pander to it. So
no, you shouldn't. But do you think you'll end up in your 70s doing gigs where you do like Wonderwall and you just go, maybe? I don't know.
Oh, fucking hell.
You should do gig where you just do it really like that.
I mean, I hope not. I hope the last gig I do has got some fucking dignity to it. But, you know, yeah. I mean, who fucking knows?
Maybe it's just like, imagine doing, well, you can imagine it, but like, imagine doubling or trebling the time you've been doing those songs for. Maybe he's just so bored of the fucking songs, he's desperately trying to amuse himself. Like, do you know what I mean? He's thinking, how far can I push this?
Well, I mean, what I'm saying is with Dylan, it's kind of, just don't play him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Just it's better if you don't do it than like do some mad shit, fucking mad version of it. That
maybe he knows now. He knows now that he's like, you know, he's in that bracket of like, fucking hell, is he still alive? Right. So people, he's probably going to sell out tours forever just for people to say, I saw him live. So yeah. He probably could come out and just bang his knob on a piano. Throw a tambourine at someone.
That sounds like one of our early American gigs.
Smoke meth and fuck off to San Francisco.
Fucking bash a tambourine against your knob and fucking see you later.
Have that.
Walk off.
Blowing in the wind. See you later. Have you ever thought about putting a harmonica on a little thing around your neck? Have you ever had a go on a harmonica?
I've tried to do that. I've tried to do it because I think... I practiced it for, I didn't practice it for more than a day, but it's just like, it's too much. Cause I always thought I could do more acoustic things without, cause I've always got to have a keyboard player or somebody playing the instrumental breaks because, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
I always thought if I could do it on the mouth organ, I could do that. And it might be open up an whole other thing of songwriting, and I was thinking, how hard can it fucking be? But it's fucking, let me tell you, it's really hard.
I've got one.
So I've got about fucking 20. That doesn't make it any easier.
They've got a letter on it. They're in a key, aren't they? You can't change.
Yeah.
It.
Well, what you've got to work out is if the song you're playing is in E flat, then there's a corresponding mouth organ for it.
Yeah,
which is not E flat. It's got to be in fucking what, you know, I don't know, C sharp or whatever. Do you know what I mean? I couldn't tell you what it is. And as soon as I found out it was all that shit, I was like, oh, fuck it, I'll just get a keyboard player.
I've actually got one here. Do you want to hear some stuff? I like the Jaggers are fucking
easy. Oh, my
eating.
Fucking God.
What? I bought it for the kids.
Oh, of course you did.
Not my kids. I mean the kids. The youth Yankee of the world.
Your youngest lad, Yankee Doodle Dandy.
I can do this, and that's the only... It's so hard, isn't it, to play?
Come on, let's hear it.
That's all I can do.
You've got the fucking blues, mate.
That was the first thing in the book. No, that...
I can't even do that.
That's two... You go... I can't remember how... It's number three and number four on the thing, and it's in, what is it, G? Don't know.
Number three and number four on the thing, on the thing.
The numbers, the numbered holes, and all I ever knew was that little lick on three and four, and that's literally all I can do.
I can't even do that.
And about, you know, they fill up with spit, and then you just put it away for another year. Anyway, should we do another conundrum? A little moral...
Do you not do a little before you're having sex with Katie?
Of course, but I do that on a Gibson.
on a fucking hurdy-gurdy.
I do that on a Captain Morgan. Do you remember those things? The little calculator thing. Remember that?
No.
Around the time of the Etch-a-Sketch.
No, don't remember any of it.
Etch a sketch, you remember that?
I remember.
Crack it open and get the silver dust out.
All right, of course I remember Etch a sketch. I think I've fucking still got one somewhere.
Well, Bob Dylan's got many. They were rubbish. You think of what an iPad can do, trying to fucking draw a picture on that using two knobs that you had to twiddle. Jesus Christ.
Mate, it was the fucking 70s. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but God, I mean, it was so much work. And if you shook it, it disappeared. I think that's shaped our brains. I think that must have done something to us.
No. What do you mean?
Well, like, think of our kids now, right? My son,
think
your
of your
son.
Kids, right?
Just think of
right?
them.
Right?
Think of your little kids, right? They can
think of your children while you're pulling a chair from underneath it in a concentration camp.
Well, you haven't got any left after this whole moral dilemmas. Your wife's died in a car crash. One of your sons has been hung.
She was having an affair with all that bitch, so fuck her.
Yeah, yeah. But no, if you think of what your kids can do in Minecraft, they go, oh, I want to build a castle with a moat, and they can do it, right? Cut back to us with our little tongue out going, I'm trying to draw a cat on a fucking Etch-a-Sketch. That must have had an effect on our minds. I think we're probably harder workers, and I think we understand. What are you doing? It sounds like you're prepping a heroin thing.
Well, not well.
You're folding foil and stuff.
You carry on, mate. Well, it was better. You're saying it had an effect on us for the good.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
It's like
you have to be intelligent to work that fucking toy. You don't have to be intelligent to do fucking anything now. The fucking guy, like, look, the fucking president of the United States is fucking stupid.
That is unbelievable. Have you seen that clip of Trump talking about the Bible?
Oh, he's just a fucking lunatic.
Mate, it's like David.
See the thing
Brent.
He said today about like fucking. It was a great day for America.
Yeah. You know,
and
George Floyd would be looking from heaven, going, "Oh, what a great
George
day!"
Floyd looking down, and saying, "What a fucking brilliant day." You know what? It's actually making being murdered not that bad.
Yeah, like he's up on a cloud going, hey, the unemployment figures are in. Great!
It's a great day.
Fucking lunatic. Now, the thing with him about the Bible, there's like these two guys, and they go, Mr. Trump, if you had to choose a passage from the Bible, what would it be? That's very personal. I can't choose. I can't choose. No, it's I couldn't possibly choose. And then they go, oh, okay. But if you had
That's a really good Donald Trump, that man. Go on.
No, it's good.
Go on.
Now you've said that, I won't be able to do it. But like, and then,
wanker.
I know. But like then the next guy says something, and he sort of pushes him further, and you can see the sort of person Trump is, because he's not embarrassed at all. He's just like, yeah, I it's too personal. I don't want to go there. And then the other guy goes, are you an Old Testament or New Testament guy? And he goes, I think both. Equal. It's like, what, like a child. Like,
so he's clearly lying.
Yeah. Did you do your homework? Yeah, I did it. You know, but it's like, it's actually quite stunning. And then he did that fucking photo shoot with a Bible that he held up. And yeah, he clearly ain't read it.
When he walked across the road to the church just to wave a Bible and walked back again.
Yeah, after tear gassing people so he could go there to hold a Bible up. It's fucking bizarre. We're in a bizarre, that's why comedy must be so fucking hard these days. Because I remember, like, you were watching like the Day Today taking the piss out of the news, right? Well, yeah. Now the president of the United States is like David Brent or Alan Partridge sitting there going, if I had to choose a testament, I'd say both. It's like the best of the Beatles. It's the same fucking joke.
Yeah. He's anyway. Fucking insane.
He is. Well, I think he's got dementia.
Oh, yeah, you sent me that thing saying he's forward-leaning. That's, yeah.
Yeah, well. No, it's... And I sent it to my mum, and she's nursed dementia. You know, like she's a nurse.
She's Donald Trump's nurse.
She's nursed Donald Trump.
She's nursing Donald. She's nursing Donald at the moment.
She's breastfed him for years. But yeah, no, she said, like, I think it's called Pick's disease, and it's like, yeah, he's definitely showing signs of it. Anyway, you're in 1940s Berlin. You know.
Yep.
Let me find one here. Hang on, I made that one up. I need a piss.
Go on then, call me back.
No, I can't do that. It'll cancel. I'll just
What are you going to do? Like fucking piss in a bowl?
No, I'll just walk to the toilet and piss in the toilet.
Oh,
but
oh, fucking hell. Jesus,
well, you're clearly taking some sort of heroin at the moment. Yeah. Can I hear you tapping your little syringe? Now, I'll hold it in. Don't worry. I'll hold it in.
Oh, right. Wow. What are we talking about?
A Day at the Beach, this is called. Your family is vacationing alone on a private stretch of beach with no lifeguard. Your daughter and your niece, both 7, are best friends and eager to get into the water. You caution them to wait until the water calms, but they defy you and sneak in anyway. You soon hear screams of distress and find them both caught in a strong current. You're the only swimmer strong enough to save them. Really, that's a stretch. Yeah, it's a stretch for you. But you can swim in this. You can swim. You were a doctor in the last one. You didn't question that. But you can only save one at a time. You can only save one at a time. Right, your niece...
I've saved my daughter first.
Well, there's more to it. Your niece
Your
niece...
You're wasting your time.
Oh, for God's sake.
Wait, go on. Oh, carry on.
Your niece is much better looking. No, that was a joke, not a paedophile. Your niece is a very poor swimmer and likely won't make it much longer. Your daughter's a stronger swimmer, but only has a 50% chance of holding on long enough for you to come back to her. Who do you save first? These are the choices.
You're saving your daughter first.
Yeah. These are the choices, though. Save your save your daughter first. You know that your niece will probably die, but you can't bear to lose your child. or
say fuck all.
Save your niece first and hope that your daughter can hold on long enough for you to come back for her. So there, the thing is, if you go straight to your niece, you could save her, but there's a gamble on will your daughter be able to tread water for long enough for you to go back to get her. Or no, gonna, you just gonna, go, no, no, fuck no, your niece, no, no, get no, the daughter.
No. Your natural instinct is to save your child first. That's it.
Oh, it's harsh, though.
Well, fucking hell, it's life or death, innit? Because I can't swim either.
No, you can in this. You've got to use your imagination.
Okay.
Because then you could go, oh, I haven't got a daughter and a niece who are both seven.
Yeah, but then what if your daughter dies? You're just like, fucking hell, I've got a daughter now.
Just have the niece as a daughter. And kill the others. Kill your brother. Kill your mother. No, I think...
No, I'm saving my daughter first.
Hang on. This isn't like, who do you save, your daughter or your niece? It's saying that your daughter's an all right swimmer. She can tread water, right? So you could shout to her, tread water, I'm going to grab... What's her name? You grab her, put... You know, she goes on your back, and then you swim to your daughter, and you could. So there's a chance of saving both, but it's a risk, it's a gamble, or there's a definite. Well, fuck your niece, and well, not fuck your niece, niece.
I actually wasn't listening properly then. I'd shout. Can you hang on for fucking 5 minutes? And she'd either say, if she it was in any doubt, you'd have to go save her. If she said, yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
You're like, right, let's go save your niece.
God, imagine you saved both of them and you got back on the sand. You'd done it. But then all you've actually done is achieve normality, which was neither of them were going to die anyway. And then you'd start to feel guilty about letting them go in the sea on their own on your holiday on a private beach.
Or I wouldn't give a fuck.
What if you just watched them both die? Like you'd found the perfect sun lounger and you got it set perfectly and you're just like, oh, for fuck up that they'll wash up in a couple of days.
It could happen.
See, that's why you need to be able to swim and drive, because there's chances of saving
at the same time.
Yeah, swim and drive. A little pool car, like a fish man, a merman. No, because then, like, you've got more chances of saving people. If you just imagine you were stood there and your child was drowning only meters away, but you're stood there going, I can't save you. And that'd be awful. You ever thought about that?
Funnily enough, never.
Right, let's have a look here. I think we've done all these, you know. Shall I put in the... I'm gonna compute with my special computer what exactly... So I've put in all your answers and I'm going to compute now what your, you know, what the moral readout is on your character. You ready? So I've got to input a bit more information here. Okay, there we go.
Computing data. Computing complete. Fuck? You are a cunt.
Shit.
You fucking idiot.
Mate, that's the computer.
Computing data. Computing data. Computing data. Computing complete. You are a cunt.
No, the computer doesn't lie.
You fucking idiot.
I am a fucking idiot.
You are a fucking idiot.
I don't care. Well, it's good to be an idiot. You could say, how sweet to be an idiot. and then get sued for it.
You fucking idiot. Right, fuck off then.
Right. Is that, we're calling it a day at that juncture?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, no, I think you can. Well, the computer's spoken anyway, so.